Good morning. Let's stand and worship on this Resurrection Sunday.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Of heaven, you conquer the grave, you free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do
that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness poured through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own.
Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation.
Sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe.
Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
We thank you, Jesus, that you are our living hope. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made, where our sin meets our salvation at the foot of the cross. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are and what you have done. We pray, God, that you would be lifted up today. We pray for Brother Darrell as he delivers your word. We pray, God, that you would be glorified in everything that we do.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life. Grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done.
Sing for the freedom He has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome.
Speak. Sing Your name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. What He's done. What He's done.
What He's done.
All the glory and the honor to the Son.
Oh, to the Son.
My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven.
Beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You are Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, You brought heaven down. great, your love was greater. What could separate us now?
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Be seated this morning.
Good morning again, everybody. If you have your Bible, we will go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, 5 through 10. There's going to be a lot of scripture on the screen, though, also, but that's going to be the major text. We're going to leave. We call this the title page. We're going to leave this up just a minute. First of all, happy Easter to you. And by looking at the Easter baskets down here, it looks like Sunday school has been very good to some of you this morning. I wish I'd gotten that in Sunday school class. All the adult Sunday school teachers, did you hear that? I wish I had gotten that in Sunday school class. Anyway, welcome to the Lord's house. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are very glad that you're here. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to preach a little bit out of God's Word, see what God's Word has to say, and then we're going to pray. And for me, anyway, and I think I can speak for a lot of us, the praying is about as important, almost important, sometimes more important than the preaching. And so we want you to make yourself at home. When it comes time to pray, we often hear, and we're going to do that this morning, I've already been asked to, we're going to pray two different ways. And the first time is just when we ask anybody who wants to come. We have altars here and these steps here, and people can come and kneel and pray. You can stand and pray. Here's what I want to say. If you are, if it's your first time here, if you've come here before but haven't come here a lot, I just want you to know that you're welcome here. I want you to make yourself at home, okay? And so I get it that if you've not been to our church a lot, it might feel kind of odd, or you might hesitate to come and pray. And I'm asking you this morning that if you want to come and pray, come, okay? Don't hesitate. If you just feel that drawing that you want to come and pray, we want you to come, okay? We don't think that's strange. We love that. This is our title page, and the reason I did this, we picked out a man sitting in church, and the seat beside him is empty, and of course he's occupying that one certain seat. Let me just say this before I mention more about that. I came to church early this morning, and I've been waiting on you, okay? I came here and just to wait on you. But you know what happened when I got here? You know who was already here? The Holy Spirit was. What was he doing? Waiting on me. Who else is he waiting on? You. The Holy Spirit was already here waiting on me, and I sat with him to wait on you. Well, when I woke up, thing is, he was also at my house, and when I walked across the yard, he walked across the yard with me. So he was already here waiting on me, and I sat with him waiting on you. That man sitting in a certain seat, before that man ever sat in that seat, the Holy Spirit was waiting on him. Now, I thought it might happen this way. I didn't know for sure, but some of you are sitting in seats you're not used to sitting in. Good. I hope you always have that problem. But you're sitting in places that maybe you don't usually sit in. Do you know, right, that the Holy Spirit already knew exactly where you were going to sit? Now, that doesn't make that much difference, other than to let you know that's literally true, that the Holy Spirit knew exactly where you were going to sit. What am I saying by that? He's been waiting on you. He's been waiting on you to be here. The Holy Spirit's here. We don't have to ask him to come. In fact, it's the other way around. He asked you to come, okay? So he's waiting on me. He's waiting on you. I want you to get that. I want you to see that. And really, all that we talk about is going to surround that. All right. The text I gave you, there's also an outline of this on the backside of your announcements, and all of the scripture will be on the screen. We're not actually going to start in Matthew. We're going to start at the scriptures listed there. And so we will start with Luke 2 and eventually read down to Matthew. Give me a pause while I get a drink. So we'll look at Matthew chapter 2, 11 through 12. All of these, I'm sure you'll see the connection. All of these will be events, places, times, things in Jesus' life and in every story. And I picked out 1, 2, 3, 4, and I had twice as many on my list. There's almost every story you can read with Jesus in the story. He was ahead waiting on whoever else was in that story with him. Luke chapter 2, 11 through 12, this is Christmas story, right? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Jesus is waiting on the shepherds. Okay, he's already there, and they have been told, he's over there, you go find him, but he's waiting on you. The woman at the well, one of my favorite stories. I'm just going to use one verse, and it may seem like an odd verse to use, but so Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and they're going to go down south, and so this one verse may seem odd, but in that story, but he, Jesus, needed to go through Samaria. Okay, if you get a Bible map where they started in the north and they're going south, he needed to go through Samaria. But if you're looking at a Bible map, he didn't need to go through Samaria. You don't have to go through Samaria to get where he's going. But John said that he needed to go through Samaria. And the rest of that story we're not going to read. I'm just going to tell you real quickly that they go to Jacob's well at a town called Sychar, outside of a town called Sychar. And he sends the rest of the disciples, he sends the disciples off to buy lunch. And he sits on the well because he's tired. So he sits on the rim of the well. And a woman comes by. And Jesus starts having this conversation with her. Why did he need to go through Samaria? It's not geographics, right? He doesn't have to go through that town. Why does he have to go through Samaria? For her. That's why, for her. One person. For one person. So Jesus sits on the well. He's tired, but he's waiting. He's waiting for one person. And the whole story takes place, the conversation with between Jesus and her, and it's just those two. In fact, the disciples kind of ask him about it because it's not legal for Jesus, a Jew, to be talking to a Samaritan, a woman. But so he has this conversation. Can you picture Jesus? Because it had to be something like this. He knows exactly why he's there. He knows exactly why he has to be there. He needed to be there. So he's sitting there on the well, and I don't know which way he's looking. Well, I don't know which way he's looking, but he knows which way to look, and he's watching for her. And as she rounds the bend, wherever that bend's at, as she rounds the bend, he sees her. See, there she is. That's the person I'm waiting for. She's the one that I'm ready to talk to. I don't know why you're here this morning. I don't know if you plan to come. I don't know if you've been planning this for weeks or you just woke up this morning and said, hey, let's go to the best church in town. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. But you know, even though you haven't been thinking about this, you know that Jesus has been waiting for you. When you walk through those doors, Jesus said, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you to come. I've been waiting on you to come. I knew you would be here. I'm waiting on you. And here you are. And Jesus is here too. Okay. I got to move on. I just stay in one place. Matthew 28, this is the original text. Resurrection. You could take this chapter, you could take this part of the chapter, if you were a preacher, and you could just preach this all week long. There's so much here, but I'm going to stay with that same theme, and I think you'll see the theme. This begins Matthew 28, 5 through 10. I'm going to read this one out of my Bible because I marked it up so much, and I know exactly what to emphasize. But the angel answered. So this is at the empty tomb, but they don't know it's empty. Everyone doesn't know it's empty yet, but it is. And the angel talking to the women who come to the tomb on that Sunday. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples. You could preach that right there. Go quickly, don't wait, don't hesitate, don't make excuses. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, this is the title, he is going before you. He's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. He's waiting for you in Galilee. Go tell his disciples that. He's already gone. He's waiting for you to get there. Okay? Behold, I've told you. Verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb. Here's a good good sentence. With fear and great joy. How many of you, I'm not going to spend much time here, but how many of you, your Christian life is going to include this, include these two, both at the same time? Fear and great joy. Well, I don't know. I'm afraid to, but I really want to. And there's that fear and great joy all at the same time. Get used to that. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus who does anything, you're going to experience it. With fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. They didn't walk. They ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell. That's a great sentence. Do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee and they will see me. Last verse on the screen anyway, John chapter 21. Two verses out of that. This is after the resurrection, before the ascension. Peter has denied Jesus three times. Most of you will recall that. Peter has denied Jesus three times. Jesus and Peter have not talked about that yet. And so in John chapter 21, the last chapter of the book, Jesus meets Peter and six more disciples on a seashore. And the first verse I want you to see is verse 4. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Disciples in the boat, they're fishing, Jesus on the shore, and then I believe it's verse 9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. What is Jesus doing? He's waiting on them. He's on the shore. They don't know he's there. They didn't do this to meet him there. He did it to meet them there. And then he had bread and fish on the fire, which is to say God has ordained and it's his will that we eat fish. Okay? Said that being said, Jesus is waiting on the seashore for them. He's waiting for them there. Okay. This is where the message for me, because I've known this part of it for quite a while, this is where the message for me took a turn. And give me one more. This is where, for me, the message took a turn. I'm not going to end like I thought it would. Trying my very best to do what the Holy Spirit would have me do and what he is trying to say to you. But this Easter right here is so much different than the Easter we had during COVID. And looking at the crowd, the truth is most of you were not here for that. But during COVID, we met outside as often as we could. We couldn't meet inside. Met outside in the parking lot, and some of the services went really well. If you know, as best we could, people would park their trucks the other way and sit on the tailgate, or they'd have their lawn chairs out or whatever. And so we were going to make Easter that year as good as we could. You know, it's a big day. It's an important day. It's important to us. It's real important to me. It is real important to me. Preaching about the risen Jesus is real important to me. And so that Easter was going to be, we're going to make it as important and meaningful as we could. Worst Easter ever. So, storms all weekend. We knew we had to meet outside, so we changed the time. And those of you who were here, you can kind of recall that. It's not going to, I really want to emphasize this. When I tell this story, it's not going to mean that much to you. In fact, it might be more interesting to you than anything else. But for me, it was like one of the lowest times in the ministry that I've had. Not the hardest, one of the lowest, one of the most depressing times. So storms, and we adjusted our time. Honestly, right now, right here, I can't remember what we adjusted it to, but whatever we adjusted it to was entirely wrong. We were trying to miss the storm, and we got the service right in the middle of the storm. So we started, we sang the best we could. The wind was picking up, and if you've ever tried to meet outside, the wind and all that. Whereas before people were on their tailgates and in their lawn chairs, now with the threatening, they were inside their cars in the cab. Some of them already had their windows up, couldn't hear a word. I could see all that. I thought, Lord, you know, do a miracle here. But he didn't. Okay. We went through the songs. Storm was coming. I was facing this way. Storm was coming. I remember this. Okay. The storm was coming from the southwest, so I could see it coming. And it was my turn to preach. I was going to do the best I could. I wanted to do this well, not just for you, but for Jesus' sake. I mean, I really wanted this to be as good as it possibly could be. So the storm started to come. I just started to preach. I've got to get this app on my phone, but the band was standing behind me, and somebody in our band had a weather app on their phone. And, I mean, it was accurate. And I was trying to preach, and if you ever tried to preach and somebody's talking in your ear, it's tough to do. So I was trying to preach. I'll never forget this, and I heard him say, it's going to start raining in 20 seconds. I just started. It's going to start raining in 20 seconds. I'm telling you, that weather app on his phone is accurate. So I was trying my best. Here's what I did. We can think about two things at once. So I was trying to preach, you know what I was doing? 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, trying to preach at the same time. Now, for you that were here, it was just, you know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, because it wasn't you trying to preach, counting 1,001, 1,002. 1,020, it started to rain. And we just had to stop, okay? Just had to stop. Man, wasn't anything else to do. Pack up, everyone drives off. Me and the band, we pack our stuff up. I mean, my heart, my soul is dragging. You know that Jesus can stop storms, right? He's done it before. He's proven it. He didn't this time. And me, I'm asking, God, I mean, 15 minutes. I can preach short, you know. But no. The answer was no. Storm. He can do it, but he didn't do it. And so there started, I mean, it was like, I know it. Doesn't mean that much to you, but it meant a lot to me. But this is the reason I'm making that point, because there's things going on with you right now that may not mean that much to anyone else, but it means a whole lot to you. Some of you have come to the Lord's house today, and you're down like that, and that just got me down. It wasn't the hardest thing I've ever done, but it was about as low, definitely in the top five. I just got down low. All the reasons why. Didn't mean that much to anyone else, but it meant a lot to me, just like you. There's stuff that's going on with you, doesn't mean much to anyone else, but it means a lot to you. So, like everyone should, I started to talk to the Lord about it and pray about it. God, why? God, why? God, why? I hadn't planned on doing this. I planned on taking those scriptures and going another direction. But when I knew this was what I was supposed to do, I looked at those scriptures again, and I saw that in almost every one of those scriptures, it's where Jesus meets somebody at a very, very low point, but he doesn't change the circumstances or just changes them a little bit, but he doesn't change them much. What it is, he's just there with them. He's just there with them. He always has been, he is, and he always will be. He's not sitting off somewhere watching. He's not sitting off somewhere watching the storm come by. He's in the storm. Only two things he answered for me. Only two things. He didn't tell me why he didn't let the storm wait a little while, why he didn't just stop. He never told me why. But two things that he did tell me about that very low point. One of them is not everything going on is about you. Not everything going on is about you. Okay? Now, second is likened unto it. You cannot see everything that God sees. He might show you a little bit, but you cannot see everything that God sees, and you never will, ever. You cannot see what God sees, and you never will. None of us get to. And so whatever's going on, it does have something to do with you. It is somewhat about you, but it's not all about you. And that God is doing other things that you can't see and you never will. And so on that day, I know that it did affect me, but there's no way for me to ever be able to see what else God was doing that I'll never be able to see. I just know that he's in the storm. He's right there in your seat. He's right there in your pew. He was waiting on you when you got here. And I know you don't understand. Why, God? Why do you allow this? What's going on? God, I cannot see. I know you can't, because most of us can't see almost anything that God is doing until he reveals it to us. But often he's just not going to. And it's just knowing that he's still there. And it's just knowing that he's always been there and he's going through this with you. He's not off somewhere watching you. He's right here with you. Now the last verse is not on the screen. And it's John chapter 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. This is important right here. You believe in God. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God. Believe also in me. What I'm trying to get you to see there is this Jesus. You believe in God. And now, having this heartfelt relationship with Jesus, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And behold, I go to prepare a place for you. What's Jesus doing right now? Preparing a place for those who are his. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What's all that mean? Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you. I went through a thing several years ago where I felt out of place. You know? I felt out of place. I felt like no one understood me. And you know what? Sometimes that's true. I felt out of place, like no one understands me. And I read that verse again. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And I knew right then that no matter what I go through or where I go, Jesus has a place for me. He understands me. He's waiting on me. He's always been there. He always will. You may not understand. You probably don't. But that doesn't mean that he's not right there going through this with you. So I want to leave this with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been going through this past week, whatever you've been going through this month, this year, he is going through this with you. And I really want you to see that. The scriptures bear that out, and I am a witness to that. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we are going to get ready to pray. But I've got a little bit more to say, but I'm going to say that as they come on up. Mark, you want to go ahead? Say this about the first song is To the Table. And I hardly ever pick out songs, but I asked for this song because there's a line in the song that says, there's a chair that waits for you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's saying. There's a chair that waits for you. Okay, give me a minute. If you are here this morning and you have not received Jesus as your Savior, and you want to, I'm not talking you into it. I'm not going to threaten you. I'm not going to scare you. I'm just asking you if you want to. I just want you to know that Jesus is waiting on you. I'm not going to go into this, but I was saved when I was 7 years old on my front porch, the front porch of my house. I know very well when I stepped out on that front porch, Jesus was waiting for me there. And it's almost like, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, He has been waiting for you. And here you are. And here you are. Now, I have sinned. I have done things that I know God said not to do. I have not done things that I know God said to do. I have sinned. So I confess my sin. God, I've sinned. I'm wrong. I did wrong. I have sinned. I confess that to you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so that's the payment for my sin. I've earned it. Death. Okay? Jesus comes and says, you know what? You don't have to die. I will take your place. And I did. I have made a way to pay. It's not just cheap forgiveness. It's payment. I have paid for that sin. So on a cross, that's what Jesus did. Stretch out his arms. They put nails through his hands and his feet. And he was crucified as payment for my sin. Now, I'm a sinner. I have no other way, no other hope. Jesus was not a sinner. And he took my place and paid for my sin. I confess my sins to him. I repent of my sins. I turn around, go the other way. And I ask Jesus to become the Savior of my life. I'm a Christian. I ask Jesus to become the Savior of my life. I have received him as my Savior. If you want to do that this morning, when we stand and when we pray, I want you to come up to the front and tell me that. Next Sunday, we're going to baptize some Christians. We're going to baptize some people who have received Jesus as their Savior. Do you want to be baptized next week? Are you ready? If you're ready, run, don't walk. Go quickly. Go quickly and tell. You catch that? Go quickly and tell. Don't hesitate. Are you ready? If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, when we stand up to pray, I want you to come up front. Now, you're not going to do that if you don't want to. The only people that's going to do that are those who are here this morning and say, that's what I want. I want to do that. And we will baptize you next week or the next week. Okay? Christians, this prayer time is for us too. You're going through whatever it is you're going through, and you don't understand, and you don't know why, and you don't have any answers. It's not plain to you. Come and talk to the Lord about it. Jesus is right here with you, and he's waiting for you here. He's waiting for you to come and pray. So whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you need help with, whatever it is you need to come and pray about, whatever it is that you need to meet Jesus about, that Jesus, I don't understand. Jesus, I need help. And I'm asking you to go through this with me because I know you will and I know you are. But I need to come and pray about it. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, come and tell us and we'll help you with that. If you have received Jesus, but you need to meet Jesus up here and pray about some things, that's what this prayer time's for. So, stand with us if you will. And these altars are here, and these steps are here, and this is our prayer time. If you want to come and pray while they play and sing, there's a chair that waits for you. There's a place that waits for you up here.
Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame, but there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come take your place and bring it all to the table? It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin and all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. You can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart, but through the cross you've been forgiven and you're accepted as you are. Table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all. Savior.